morning, Frinton Free Church. It's great to be with you. I'm Ruth Rice. I'm Director of Renew Wellbeing, which is a charity based in Nottingham, but nationally helping churches set up quiet shared spaces where it's okay not to be okay. We do training for churches in how to set up those spaces. That's our website, www.renewwellbeing.org.uk. We've also got some meditation cards you can have and use, and a book that's just come out, which you can get hold of from us or on Amazon. So that's who I am. That's a little plug over about Renew. I'm going to pray and we're going to talk about a new start with mental health. So Lord, thank you for the opportunity to spend some time together in your word and with each other as broken people, as people who know sometimes we're not okay. At the beginning of a year when we're not sure what it holds, coming out of a year that held things we could never have imagined, that for some people has been the worst of years, we recognise that our mental and emotional health is more fragile than we thought, and that the world around us is not okay. And so we come to you and ask you to teach us about well-being and the gospel, and draw us into this wonderful story of renewing well-being. In Jesus' name, amen. So just briefly, my story is that I was a primary school teacher for 20 years. I've got 3 kids, a lovely husband. I was brought up in a brethren home where busyness is next to godliness. So I really overworked, basically. And about 10 years ago, I had an enormous breakdown. I don't know why I'm smiling as I say it, because it was awful. I spent about a year in my bed. I couldn't talk. And it was very surprising to me, because I'm one of those full energy, full lockdown people. And I thought Christians didn't get to feel like I felt. And so I had guilt and shame, and I stayed away from church quite a lot, and I was one of the leaders, so that was a problem. But I experienced during that year a kind of richness that I'd never have seen any other way. I suppose I realised during that year that God loved me for me, not for what I could do for him. I suppose I began to understand what well-being actually is at the time of deepest illness. And it's more like shalom. It's that fullness, that wholeness. You don't have to be well to have well-being. So during that year, there were lots of empty, hard days, and it was very lonely. But God kind of drew in next to me, and I discovered him in the Psalms, doing some meditation on those. I used to take my cup. Well, I'm looking around for a cup, and I haven't got one here. I've always got one. Take your cup in the morning, your first cupper in the morning, put your hands around it, and know that your life is like that cup, and you are held by him. And it's the hands around the cup I learnt to concentrate on. The cup was broken and empty, but the hands around the cup are loving and kind and hold us. And the good news is really good news. It didn't mean I was suddenly okay overnight. I really wasn't. I'm still probably not. I walk with a bit of a limp emotionally. But I suppose I realised that it is okay not to be okay. It's a phrase that doesn't come out of the Christian world, but I think it holds the heart of the gospel. Those hands that hold us are okay. So if we aren't, we are still held by him in the bigger story. It took me on a journey with meditative prayer and contemplative prayer, sort of Psalms and the Lord's Prayer and examine, and simplifying things so I could manage them, and not having such a complex and complicated busy church calendar. Took the church with me on this journey of understanding what it felt like for the lights to go out, and how 1 in 4 people, even before this global pandemic, were struggling with their mental and emotional health, and probably not finding what the church were doing to be very easy to get into. We mean well, very loving and kind, but my experience when I wasn't well was it was very hard to be somewhere where people wanted to pat you and pray for you and wanted you to be better when you needed time not to be okay. And so we dreamed of a place where we could just show up, do the rhythms of prayer together, like a shared front room. Hobbies have become really important to me. I've forgotten to look after myself and do hobbies and be human. So all sorts of bits and bobs, from painting stones to furniture restoration to colouring in to doing jigsaws, but not on your own, to do them together in a space. So that church life became less about busyness and more about how to live the unforced rhythms of grace. And I also dreamed of a place on the high street where people could just like pop in and join in our prayer rhythms, because it was the prayer rhythms and sharing them with other people that brought me back to life. a friend of mine who was a lifeguard said, if you go to a drowning person, take something that floats or they'll pull you under. And the problem when you are in a recovery from mental health issues is that you then spot everybody else and you want to help them, and then you take on all their stuff and you end up going under again. And I coming out of my year of mental ill health, which was slow and long, and I took help from wherever I could get it, I did sort of start trying to fix other people. I basically became the minister of the church that I'd been part of, New Life Baptist Church. That's a story for another day. In fact, it's in the book if you want to get it. And therefore, as a church, we started to go on this journey of trying to help other people who I had spotted, people in the car park, on the margins, the shadow people, even in the church. This is not even, I'm talking about the church and the community. I don't think God sees a them in us. Our mental health levels us. And so I dreamed of a place where we could all get together, you know, if we needed help, if people were having long empty days because of their mental health, that there was somewhere they could pop in. And God gave us this lovely little place on the high street next door to an existing tea shop who were the people of peace who invited us to share it with them. We paid half the rent as a church. The cafe paid half the rent. We didn't have to make tea and coffee and stuff because it was already there. But we did have the kettle on for people who couldn't afford it. If you walked into our space, it was just like a little cafe, but it operates more like a shared front room. On every table is something to do for your well-being, and anyone can bring a hobby, share a hobby. Of course, that's pre-COVID. It is still open, but it looks more like an exam room at the moment. Socially distanced tables, people in masks bringing their own hobby. But people are still reporting it's somewhere to go when they haven't seen anybody all week. Can you believe, in our town, which is a bit of middle-class suburbia, with 14 churches and 23 cafes, this lady said to me, I love coming here because now someone knows my name. Because she could go all week and not hear her name spoken. And so this is why we have these spaces. But also we found, if we make them work for people who are really struggling with their mental and emotional health, they work for everybody. That common denominator of simplicity actually brings us all just to be present, to show up, to bring something to do, and just any faith and none, no proselytising, just being together. Then there's the prayer space, right next to the social space, the prayer space. We didn't separate our prayer activities from our social activities. I wanted to make sure people knew that I had nothing to give, but I could introduce them to God who could help them. And so the rhythm of prayer, psalm first thing, pause for the Lord's Prayer in the middle of the session, end of the day, this wonderful kind of review of the day called examine, going back over it. And it's been lovely. People have wanted to come and join us for prayer. We just go, oh, we're going to pray now if you want to join us. And nobody has to. They can just carry on with their activities. Amazing how many people want to pray. They just didn't know that that's what they wanted. People are coming to faith and meeting with God. And then the third thing, so it's being present, being prayerful. And the third P is being in partnership with mental health services. So we were helping people to contact mental health services by making it available in a non-clinical setting. We're also then able to have people referred to us from mental health services who needed to be socially prescribed into something safe. And that partnership, that relationship made the place richer. And I suppose I'm telling you about that because that's where my journey of mental ill health took me. That's where God took me on this weird journey of saying, I really need something different to what is on offer. I need my faith and I need my church family and I can't do this. So we ended up doing Renew 37, which was open 4 days a week. And still is 5.5 years later, with no end of hosts wanting to be there because it's good for our well-being. We all enjoy it being there. And of course, the one space, if you know the story, became many spaces. So 3 years later, there were 50 cafes open nationally where people had gone, oh, I'd like to do that. And God seemed to just start where you're at. You know, what have you got in your hand? Be present, be prayerful, be in partnership. Loads of churches doing presence really well, but not doing the prayer thing alongside it, or not getting partnership with mental health services going. It's dead simple. It's not rocket science, but I don't know why any church wouldn't want to do it. I felt like I led authentically out of my own life and brokenness, and God showed up. He still shows up in the story. Because when we got to March and everything had to shut, I was gutted. I thought, what a waste of 3 years. And then I embrace technology like I am doing now. I didn't do it easily. I love people. I like travelling and seeing people. But actually, to put all our training online, which it is, you can just join in a webinar and you can help yourself to the training off the website and set up your own space. Or you can get hold of the book and the manual is in there and do it like a book group. That's another way in. And so the book got written and the stuff went online, and now we've tripled our reach, 150 churches or more joining in to set up Renew Spaces. And God is doing something in simple, quiet, shared spaces where we recognise that we're all human and it's okay not to be okay, that we can learn from each other, and practising the presence of God is the main thing. So how can this help you with your mental and emotional health journey? Well, as a church, you might decide this is something that you might like to set up for yourselves and maybe for your community, and we'd love to help you do that. If that's not for you, then please do have a look at the rhythms of prayer. I can't commend them to you highly enough. In fact, that's where I'm going to go to with this. I'm not a mental health expert. I'm not going to tell you how to look after your mental health, although I am going to point you to the 5 ways to well-being. So the New Economics Foundation, about 10 years ago, did some really good research about well-being and mental and emotional health. And the 5 things that came up that people knew helped them were connecting, learning, getting active, taking notice, and giving. And these 5 things people thought helped them with their mental and emotional health. And if you think about those things, they're things that a good church does anyway. But there might be one of those that's missing. If you're struggling with your mental health, are you connecting well enough with other people, with yourself, with God? Are you taking time for that? Are you learning something new? These hobbies are not incidental that we do in our Renew Spaces. They're because they're good for you. Are you getting active? We are not a disembodied spirits and souls. We are in the skin we're in, and we need to look after ourselves. Are we taking notice, the slowing down, the being mindful of what's around you, prayerfulness? And are you giving? Are you giving other people an opportunity to give as well to you? Are you a receiver? You need to be able to give and receive. It's hard. And sometimes that doesn't happen until we get really ill, and you have to learn the gift of the cup of the other person being offered to you. So what does the Word of God have to say about this area of mental and emotional health? Well, a lot, actually. There's too much to go into today. I think from beginning of this love story to the end, it is about shalom. It is about well-being. From walking in the garden at the beginning to him wiping every tear from our eyes at the end, we see what well-being looks like in the pages of this beautiful word. And in the person of Jesus, then we see what well-being actually looks like in human skin. And I'd like to take you to Luke chapter 10, if you'd come with me, just to talk to you a little bit about some of the inner habits of well-being. So take those 5 ways: connect, learn, get active, take notice, give, and apply them to your inner life, the offstage life, if you like, the bit that nobody sees. So yes, we can get a hobby, we can get active, we can get some connections going on, and we need to do those things. But sometimes we don't then attend to what's in here. I realised, yeah, to my detriment, that I hadn't attended to my inner life. I've been busy, and the crash meant that when I was ill, it felt like there was nothing in here to draw on. And so I suppose my only advice to you is to attend to as much to the roots under the surface as what grows above the surface, and maybe this will help us. So in Luke chapter 10, you see Jesus taking the 72 and sending them out, and they go and do this amazing stuff, and they're healing the sick and raising the dead, and all sorts of stuff is happening. And they're like, right, we've got it. If we're followers of Jesus, we're going to change the world. And they go to people of peace, and you'll notice that. I think the people in the cafe next door to us in the story I just told are people of peace. There are people out there who aren't Christians yet but are ready to serve the kingdom. Anyway, they come back from that and they're like, yes, we shall change the world. That's what we're for. Is that the new way of looking after our well-being? More activity? It's in there somewhere. And then Jesus tells them the story of the Good Samaritan, and they go, ah, right, so we shall help people at the side of the road. Social action. We need to help those who need help, and we do. We need to feed those who need feeding, and we need to clothe those who need clothing, and we need to sit with those who are lonely. But then we come to the end of the chapter. So So the, imagine the disciples, they're following Jesus, they're listening to what he's saying, like we do, and they're going, right, a new start, a new year, we need to get active, change the world, help the poor and needy. And then he takes them to Mary and Martha's house. And I read to you from verse 38 at the end of chapter 10 of Luke. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister's left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. And the Lord said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, and it will not be taken away from her. Put your own name in. Are you anxious and troubled about many things? One thing is necessary. And after this, the disciples, the penny drops, and they go with Jesus to a certain place, beginning of chapter 11, and he's praying, and they go, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us to raise the dead or heal the sick or make the bread into more bread, but teach us to pray. They've spotted the secret. I think if I was to tell you about all the things that happened over the course of my adventure with mental ill health, prayer would be the thing. Prayer has changed my entire way of thinking about my mind and the battle that goes on in there, and how it relates to my body, and how my mind and my body, my soul relate to other people's spaces. And everything that's gone on has gone on in this language of prayer that the church is, I think in some ways the church is not engaged in enough. This prayer language, prayer is not just sort of the work of praying for stuff. It's like breathing for Christians. It is the way in which community is formed. It is the very way in which we live, prayer. And so I suppose I bring you the challenge and the encouragement that as the people of prayer, becoming more the people of prayer, our own well-being will improve, and our place at the table to see the well-being of a nation will improve. The church needs to be front and central right now in the nation that has realised that everything can change, to have this breath of God in our own lungs, and to know that all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well, that he holds us. That's about prayer. So this Mary and Martha story just gets me. You know, I get Martha, don't you? She's running around, she's serving, she's doing the stuff that we thought was part of, you know, getting ourselves better, being resilient, you know, being God's people in a broken world. And really, if we're honest, for some of us, I don't know, I don't like that word resilience, honestly. I feel quite fragile at times, but I know his hands are around me. And so I love that actually what the Lord says is, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled. Stop pointing the finger at your sister who's sitting at my feet and come and sit down. I dare say, I'm daring to say it, if push comes to shove and Jesus has to choose between our presence and our presence, you know, between our gifts we want to give him of all the things we're going to do for him and us sitting and gazing on him, he will choose the sitting and the gazing. He longs just to take your face in his hands, to look into your eyes and to tell you that he loves you. I only realised that because I had to stop, because I wore myself out. I don't think we have to just stop everything we're doing to do the being. I think being and doing make the becoming. But we must put some habits in our lives that we do, like brushing our teeth. You know, just like that, every single day, that we say, I need to attend to my inner life. I can't just start the day by attending to everything else. For me, it's a simple habit. I take my first cuppa in the morning, I hold it in my hands, and I sit still until I finish that drink, as an act of warfare against the enemy will tell me that there's so much to do and I need to do it. No, there's a God, and I'm not God. And so I sit still, I drink my drink, and I meditate on one phrase from a psalm. So we take as a charity a psalm a week and a phrase from the psalm. And that's because when I wasn't well, I couldn't hold more than a phrase in my head. So I would take that phrase and I would just chew it over, hold the cup, meditate on that until it filled me. I call it my resting thought rate. You know, what are you thinking about when you're not thinking about anything else? What your mind comes back to. To me, it came to a stream of worries about everything, and it's what made me ill. But if you're good at worrying, then you're going to be good at meditating, because worrying is only negative meditation. So take the cup, hold the cup, meditate on something good and true. And I like to take that from the Word of God. And then the other thing to do is to pause often. So beginning of the day we use Psalm 103, 1-4, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. And we pause together, we bless his name, we thank him for the gifts of the day, we confess our sin, we pray for those who are not well, and then we receive his love. And we do that every day at the beginning of the day, and we do it gathered or dispersed. So that's the other thing. I don't think this is an individual journey. I think this is a shared journey. And to try and look after your inner life all on your own, it's just too hard. I needed other people. That's why we've got church. That's why we've got church. Not just so that we can do stuff together, but so we can be stuff together. So we can be this prophetic image of what well-being, shalom, looks like as we get together. At lunchtime at 12 o'clock I pause and do the Lord's Prayer, similar way, just pausing after each line, letting it sink in, praying for the world, taking myself beyond my own stuff that's right in front of my face. You do get really defined by your label when you're not well, and God doesn't look at the label, he looks at your name and your heart. And then at the end of the day, rewinding the day with God in this act of examine, and thanking him for what was good and lovely, and then putting down what's not yours to carry. And it's a simple act that helps me sleep. And as well as those things, having something creative on the go to do. I like to crochet, I like to paint stones. And having those things on the go helps me realise that we are made in his image. We are masterpieces, Ephesians 2:10, of his making. He made us in advance to do the good things he planned for us long ago. So I suppose I'm saying to you, put the pauses in first and work from your rest. Take time to breathe. If you've got little children at home and stuff, you have to be more creative about how to do this. But honestly, I don't think we've much to offer a world that is crazy looking for the love of Jesus if we don't know what it looks like ourselves, because we're so busy trying to fix everyone. This beautiful passage takes us to say, Martha, there's one thing that's necessary. What's your one thing? I love Psalm 27, verse 42. It says about the one thing, which is to gaze on his beauty, to seek him in the temple. Ah, it's just this idea that this is his temple, he lives within us, and we just can seek him and gaze on him and be with him, learning how to be with him. I don't think the opposite of loneliness is community, you know. I think it's solitude. I think it's learning how to be on our own with ourselves, so that when we come together, we haven't got these massive expectations of each other. And in doing so, I pray that you too will have well-being habits as a church, as individuals, that you can share with your community. And if you love the place of well-being, if you love the habits of well-being, the place of prayer, the place of community, if you want to be there, people will want to be with you. If you're just doing stuff because you're on a rota, maybe not so much. I think it's time for the church to authentically live in the peace that is beyond understanding that we say we believe in. I hope you don't have to get there the hard way like me. If you have been there or are there with mental and emotional health issues and challenges, be of good heart. You are the experts in the room. Guys, listen to those people who know what it feels like for the lights to go out. Listen to what they need and then create that thing. If we can help you in any way, get in touch. We'd love to talk to you. I'll bring you this little poem I wrote. It's in the book, Lord Teach Us to Pray. Lord, teach us to pray where prayer is breath. We pause, and in the pausing know that you were always there. Breathe deep, my soul. The air of his presence will not run out. This breathing underwater, not from tank or tube, but with new lungs designed by him to inhale love. Don't gasp and grasp. This drowning is not death, but life. The job you made of breathing by yourself, of quickly gulping pockets of fresh air, is done. Be still, my soul, and know that he is God, and you are not. He does not need your conjuring or your pleading to be there. He is the air in which you live. To know him, really know him, and to make connection with the source that came and moved into our space, our time. Now that is breathing. That is life. Connect and learn, and in your learning grow and act and move and be, and taking notice of the things you see, of those around you who can't breathe, give life and breath as freely as received. Breathe deep, my soul. Breathe daily, hourly, often. Pause, and so together say, Lord, teach us to pray. May the Lord bring you into a place of well-being, habits that you do every day, that you share with your community. Oh Lord, would you take hold of Frint and Free and bring your freedom deep into their being so that well-being flows from them and into their community. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make his face shine on you in 2021. A new start with mental and emotional health. May it be yours and your communities. In Jesus' name. Amen.